Hello, everybody. Thanks for coming to our talk, and welcome to Build 2012. Great to see so many people in the room, and hello to everybody online. I hope you enjoyed this talk. My name is Andrew Byrne, and I'm a programming writer on Windows Phone, and this is my colleague Doug Rothes, and he's a programming writer on Windows 8. So today we're going to show you some techniques you can use to share code when you build apps between Windows Phone and Windows 8. You'll do this to save time and money and to reduce maintenance costs. And we'll use an app we wrote to show you these concepts. So here's what we're going to go through today. First, we'll talk about the opportunity ahead, and then we'll look into the Windows Phone API and the choice and flexibility you have to create apps. We'll then spend lots of time looking at the techniques for sharing code between your Windows Phone 8 app and your Windows 8 app. And we'll show you lots of code through demos. I'm sure you've seen something like this already in other talks, and it's worth repeating. The opportunity that lies before you all is huge. Huge. You have the opportunity to put your app into the hands of hundreds of millions of new customers, and you'll be able to do this in 191 markets worldwide. But it will be apps that are core to the Windows Phone and Windows 8 experience. The start screen on both devices puts your app at the center of that experience. And it'll be your apps and your scenarios that'll light up all that beautiful new hardware and devices you've seen already this week, and that's rolling out over the next couple of months. Now, obviously, you'll want to build these great apps for both platforms as efficiently as possible. I know I will. And so you'll be able to do just that with the code sharing techniques that we're going to show you today. So we are on the path to Windows and Windows Phone convergence. Hopefully that's coming across already in the talks you've attended this week, but let me explain what I mean here. The Windows Phone 8 release has been a major developer upgrade. As you've probably heard, we've replaced the core, so we share the same core as Windows. We've removed the .NET Compact Framework and replaced that with CoreCLR. We've added Windows Runtime API, a lot of which is in common with Windows itself. And of course, we've added native app development support, giving you the ability to create fantastic native apps and games. And it's this new surface and this convergence that will allow you the flexibility and power you're going to need to create compelling apps. So let's have a look at the API surface. In the Windows Phone 7 timeframe, you were really building apps against .NET, coding in C# and VB on top of the .NET Compact Framework. There's been a huge upgrade on that, and we now share the same .NET engine as Windows 8, again, writing your apps in C# and VB. But in addition to that, we've added the Windows Phone runtime. Now, the Windows Phone runtime is a set of Windows Runtime API, a lot of which we've adopted from Windows 8, and some more we've added ourselves to cater for phone-specific features, such as speech, voice over IP. Because it's Windows Runtime API on the phone, you'll be able to code against that in C#, VB, and C++. And definitely, last but not least, is our support for native development. So we've support for Direct3D, Audio2D, and so on, allowing you to write C++ apps, bringing over those excellent native apps and games, and getting them onto our platform. So that's the Windows Phone 8 surface area, API surface area. Digging slightly deeper, what I wanted to show you here is basically the Windows Phone 8 developer platform with the API laid out into feature areas and the languages against which you can code. So on the left we have, .NET API and the features there that you can code against. You can see there's new API there as well, such as Wallet. So you can code using C#, VB against those API. In the center, are a lot of Windows Runtime API that make up the Windows Phone Runtime. And here you can use C#, VB, and C++. A lot of this API is in common with Windows. And as we move forward in the talk, we'll show you an example of that. And finally, you have C++ and our C++ stack for building those great apps, native apps and games. And all of this sits on top of a shared core with Windows. So moving along, we want to get to some code for you. So what we thought we'd do is show you an app we built that uses all the techniques we're going to demonstrate in the presentation. So I'll hand over to Doug.
All right. Thanks, Andrew. So what we're going to show you is a little app we built for sharing pictures between two devices. And what we have is a Windows Phone 8 and a Windows 8 Slate. Although this could go from Slate to Slate or phone to phone. And it allows us to share pictures without actually having to copy the picture over. So as you can all probably tell, just by looking at me, that with a head of hair like this, I have a lot of style opportunities. That was intended to be funny. But I'm not really sure what to do for my next hairstyle, so I'm going to ask my friend Andrew. Hey, Andrew.
Hey, Doug. Long time no see.
Long time no see. All right. So, hey, Andrew, I'm thinking of trying a new hairstyle.
Right, okay.
I want to get your opinion. I've got some mock-ups.
I'd love to see them, Doug.
All right. So let me switch over.
Okay.
And here's my Windows Phone 8, my Windows 8 tablet. And I'm going to start at PixPresenter here. And you can see I'm presented with the picture libraries on my machine. And I can go in here and I can navigate through. And what I'll be able to do, and I'm about to connect to Andrew's machine, and I'll be able to just flick them up and they'll go over to his. So I'm going to bring up the app bar and I'm going to tap the connect button. And then we're going to switch over so that we can see Andrew's phone and what he experiences. All right, so we'll switch over here.
So there's my phone.
We're going to tap. He's prompted to open the app, opens it up, and now we're connected. And you can see that his UI is the same app, but it's optimized for Windows Phone. All right, so let me see. So, Andrew,
yep.
I need to get your opinion on some of these hairstyles.
So here's my first one
for you. I call this my news anchor look.
Lovely.
So, kind of going for that.
Yeah, I'm liking it.
I have a couple other options. I was thinking maybe going a little bit more young and hip. I call this my Justin Bieber look.
Oh, very nice, Doug, yeah.
So that's
very modern. We good with the, you know, suit the kids out there.
With the hip crowd.
The hip crowd, yeah.
Okay, and I thought of maybe going a little bit more edgy. I call this one Ziggy Stardug. And this one I get a tattoo.
Did you do this last night? That looks great, Doug. I'll tell you, though, can you show it up to me? It's retro, like black and white. It looks like a 70s
picture. A little more artsy?
A little more artsy.
All right, let me bring up the app bar, and I'll click my convert button, and I will just then send that one over to you. And now you have it in black and white.
Very nice. Doug, I wish you all the best with that. I'll just send back something just to show working in both directions. So there you go. That's what I'm going home to tonight.
All right, let me switch back, and you can see that the photo that Andrew sent me is now on my device. Boy, those guys...
I'll tell you.
Wow.
I should wash them. So that's it. That's the demo. That's PixPresenter. And hopefully, for the rest of the talk, we'll be able to dive into the sharing techniques we used, and you'll see a lot of those in action. So what are those sharing strategies that we used inside this app and that we recommend you use in your apps? First thing to do... separate your UI from your app logic. Sounds quite straightforward, and a lot of you are probably doing that already, you know, depending on what you're using in terms of a design pattern or architecture for your app. When you do this with sharing in mind, what you'll end up with is your app logic that you can really tackle and get a return on an investment in terms of sharing, but you'll also have your UI nicely separated so that you can concentrate and give a great experience in building that for each of the platforms in your projects. Then we look at sharing portable .NET code in a portable class library. And then we talk about using the common Windows Runtime API that are shared between Windows Phone and Windows 8, and writing code once and sharing in both your apps using Ada's Link and Visual Studio. And finally, we look at some language interop, which is using Windows Runtime components that you write in order to share out code in this manner, and we have an example of that coming up. So let's look at the separation of UI from app logic. Very elementary diagram here, the point being to show that your app's typically going to be composed of a lot of app logic and then user interface. And the key thing for us to set ourselves off successfully here is to keep that separate. And by doing that, as I already said, you're going to see a lot of opportunity to share in the app logic, and then you'll be able to concentrate on those great experiences in the user interface. Mapping that diagram to something a bit more technical, we have MVVM, or the model view, view model pattern, and this is what we use in PixPresenter. So for those not familiar with MVVM, we have at the bottom a representation of the model of your app. The model is typically the data the app is going to consume, as well as the API to access that data, etc. The view model will encapsulate that data, and it will it will describe what to share to the UI, and also does a lot of other things such as flow control, interactions, and so on. Sitting at the very top is the view layer, and an app, a Windows Store app or Windows Phone app, will typically be composed of multiple pages of UI, or in the case of MVVM, multiple views. And it's these views that will bind to the view models, and the view will define how to display the information from the view model, so basically what the user sees. So using a separation pattern like this, you're already set up for separation very cleanly, because at the very top you have your user interface layer, which is your views, and you have that separation. So this is PixPresenter at a very high level. This is a block diagram that represents it. We used MVVM, and as you can see, the Windows Phone app and the Windows Store app are structured exactly the same. So in a way, we've shared from the get-go by writing both apps at the same time and talking to, you know, thinking about the experience on both. We were able to come up with a design which suits both and is effectively shared. And we recommend that if you do have the chance, although that's not always possible. So at the bottom of this, in terms of MVVM, our model is made up of the photo library and the APIs to access that on both devices. The app logic consists of view models which will basically consume a lot of that, the photos from the picture libraries, and represent those so that they can be used then inside the views. And on the very top, we do have three pages of UI or views. Doug showed you the first one, which is the list of albums, so you see the nice collection of albums. And then you see, when you go into an album, you see your collection of pictures, and then when Doug flicks a picture to me, that comes up in our picture view. And the app logic does a lot more in PixPresenter, and we'll show you some of that. We're using a lot of the Windows Runtime component and various other things inside there to tap and connect using the proximity API, and then send pictures back and forwards over sockets and the Bluetooth connection. So let's talk about portable class libraries. So portable class libraries, they're a key ingredient to code sharing in an app like this, which is a XAML app, where you have something written in C# or VB and using a lot of .NET framework. So here's what a portable class library does. When you new up a portable class library inside Visual Studio, you're asked to choose the platforms you wish to target. In our case, that would be Windows Phone and Windows Store. When you finish the wizard, a portable class library is created inside Visual Studio, and it will contain a set of .NET assemblies that are guaranteed to be portable for the target platforms you've selected. And then you go in and write your code inside that library. So what it'll give you is one source, written inside one project, compiled into one binary, so a portable binary, and used then on multiple platforms. So this is a great technique, and in an app like this, you'll see a lot of code being portable and used in this manner. So how do portable class libraries and MVVM relate together? So if I'm using model view view model and I want to use a portable class library, where does everything fit? So here's our diagram of how we actually went and separated out our project, and it's a good example. What you'll have is we have three projects. We have a store app, a phone app, and then our portable class library. Now, in the phone app and store app, we've put our user interface or our views inside those projects, and it's there we're going to concentrate on delivering that great experience using XAML and Boat platforms to really harness the power of the platform and give the user a great Windows phone app and a great store app. So the views will be inside these app projects. They'll both reference the portable class library, and the portable class library will contain a lot of our app logic. So you see that in that diagram. It may also contain the model. And there will be cases where the view models will want to talk with something that's platform specific. Remember, everything inside the PCL is portable, but it may want to call outside to something that's platform specific. The recommendation there is to come up with a platform functionality abstraction for that stuff, define it in the portable class library, and then implement that on both projects. And then you'll just inject that back into the class library at runtime inside the view model. And so you end up with a form of dependency injection, and we'll show you that in action as well. What's portable in PixPresenter? So you saw the three layers, I've described those already. So I'll jump right to it. The UI, we wanted to be platform specific, and really in terms of sharing, that's the right call. You're pretty limited there in terms of what you can share from a UI perspective. It made a lot of sense to us because we really did use a lot of platform specific features. I know on the store app, for example, Doug used Flip View and so on. So controls and metaphors are really suitable for the form factor in question. So it's at the app logic layer, the view models, that you're going to see a lot of portability and shareable code. And there's a subtle difference between portable and shareable. We'll get to that in a few minutes. But that's the sweet spot. That's where the return on your investment in terms of sharing is going to really be effective. You may also get portability or shareability down lower in the model. Turned out for this app, that wasn't the case. We're using platform-specific API to access the picture libraries, and so we had to come up with a way to make the app logic talk to that platform-specific piece. So that's just an overview of the design process and how we split out our app and got to the point of actually trying to share. So here's our first demo, which I'll show you now. And the goal here for the first demo is just to really orientate you into the structure of our application. It's something hopefully you can use too, or something very similar. So I've opened up Visual Studio. Excuse me for a second. Sorry about that. So here in Visual Studio, in the Solution Explorer, we have three projects. Now, it's one solution with three projects. We chose to do it that way. The key thing is, if you build your app like this with three projects in it and you compile, obviously we're going to output the portable class library, then a Windows 8 app and a Windows phone app. So you've got the three projects, and I'll just expand the portable library, because as we were saying, our view model lives in there. So here's our portable library expanded, and you can see some view models. Let's take a look at the album view model first. And in there, as you'd probably expect, it's quite straightforward. All it's doing is representing an album. And an album in this case is a set of pictures, a list of pictures with properties such as name and path, and then a method to actually retrieve those pictures and build up that collection. There's also some more commands here for moving around the album. So for example, when Doug was flicking left to right inside the album, we were basically asking for the next picture, the previous picture, and that was being determined by the view model and shown to the user. So it's quite straightforward. These, again, you know, are in terms of this demo, they're pretty, hopefully they're easy to understand. Here's the albums view model. Names are pretty close together, so I hope you see the distinction. But the idea here is that the albums is the collection of albums inside the application. So when Doug brought up the first screen, what was shown there was bound back to this collection of albums. And this is even more straightforward. It just exposes a property of a collection of albums and a method to actually go and load up those albums. Now, as you'll see here, I have built this first demo with some dummy data. Just for demonstration purposes, because I want to really drive home the use of this portable class library on both applications. So right now the Windows Phone 8 project is selected as a startup project. I'll go into the views, and I'll go into one of these views to show you that during the navigation to that page or that view, we are using that albums view model to load the albums, and then we're binding this to the view, and then that data can be consumed by the UI, and you can show those lovely thumbnails with name of albums and so on. And the exact same thing will be done inside the Windows 8 app. There's the reference to the portable library, and you'll see the very same thing when you go into the albums, any of the views, you'll see that pattern of binding to a view model and loading the data asynchronously, keeping everything fast and fluid. So let me just start up the first project. I've already got the emulator up and running, I hope. And there you see some of the dummy data. Let's go back here. And there you see just some simple data. There's a nice puffin. Let's see if he shows up on the Windows 8 project to show that we're sharing the same data. I'll set the startup project now to Windows 8. And I'm going to start the simulator, which is great to be able to test both of these locally inside these powerful Hyper-V based emulator and simulator. So there's that puffin again. So the same data in this simple example is just being populated into both apps. So the key message to drive home for the first demo is just that structure, setting yourself up in terms of getting your view models into a common library and then showing that they're used in both apps. Okay. So as I'm sure you'll all agree, that's not going to make prime time. We can't deliver apps with dummy data. We want to actually bring back the real pictures and show those to the user. And as I've said before, the issue here is that was platform specific in terms of accessing the picture libraries on both platforms. So what to do in that case? So going back to this particular picture about invoking non-portable code, the idea, if you remember, was we want our portable library to contain as much shared code as possible, but it's going to need to call out in scenarios like this for platform specific code. And what we'll end up doing is, inside the portable class library, we'll define an abstraction, and in our case, we'll just define interfaces. These interfaces will contain methods that will then be implemented as concrete implementations inside each of the projects. So, for example, we'll have an interface for getting the albums and retrieving those from the local storage, and that will be implemented in both projects. So I'd like to jump ahead and show you that now. So, here we go. Just a quick reminder, there's that dummy data. You've got to get rid of it. So, in here, we're going to have to replace this with something that calls out to the platform-specific code to grab me the local pictures. So, how do we do that? Let's go back inside the portable library. And you can see now I have some interfaces. They're all pretty straightforward, keeping this nice and crisp and clean. Here's one called iAlbums Service, and it's basically returning a set of albums asynchronously in the form of a collection of album view models. So the album view model is a representation in our app of an album, and we're giving back a list of those. So given I have an interface like that, the view model would then consume that as follows. Here I have the view model, and it's been stripped out to remove that dummy data. And what I'll do is a little bit of code. So first thing to do is I'm going to define a local variable for my album service. And once I have that, I'm going to inject this into my constructor. So I have a public constructor. When I construct the albums view model in one of my apps, I'll pass in an implementation of this service, of this interface, excuse me. and I will just store that. Okay, so now we're hooked up. We have access to the interface. So down here in my load albums async method, what I'm going to do is get the data back. So let's see if I album service, get albums async. I'll just get the result of that. And now I'm going to populate my public property, which is just an observable collection here. And I'll populate that with the albums list. So there you go, that's hooking up that's hooking up that interface. So as you can see, the view model now knows nothing of the actual implementation. It's just using an interface. It's saying, hey, somebody give me these albums. And when we use this view model inside both both projects, they'll pass in their own implementation of that interface. So let's see what. So that's all in the portable class library. Let's see how that's implemented in one of the projects. So here I have the service implemented, that interface implemented inside the albums service in the Windows 8 app. As you can see, it's implementing iAlbums service, and it's calling get albums async. And as you see up here, for example, this is the Windows runtime storage API that we're using, and you can see it's doing things like using the pictures library to get the folders and so on. So that's the service that has been implemented, and when I construct the view model in the Windows 8 app, I happen to do it here just as a lazy load, and it's a static member of my app. But here you can see that when I create the albums view model, I'm passing in that album service, and then that's what the view model will use to grab that data. Exact same pattern is used for the Windows Phone 8 app. Just won't go through that in as much detail, but you can see there's the interface being implemented in this class called Albums Service. And as you can see, it's using Media Library API. So here it's using Media Library to iterate over the albums, picture albums these are, by the way, not Ziggy Stardog albums. And it's grabbing all that data, and it's creating that collection of albums and passing it back. Let's see that in operation. Let's see if the Puffin has disappeared and we have real data now. So in my Windows 8 app, it's still the startup project. I'll change over to the simulator and I will run. So here you see real pictures coming off the device now. And when I drill down, you can see I'll be able to go through all those different pictures. So the view models, all three are built using the same pattern, and they all work similarly. Great stuff. So on the phone, how does that look? I'll set my phone project as a startup project, and then I will run the emulator once more. Not as exciting, but you see the sample pictures album that's inside the emulator is now being loaded, as opposed to the Puffin and all that other sample data. So there you go. That's a demonstration of portable class library, using as much code as possible, sharing that as much as possible inside there, and then using interfaces or dependency injection in order to implement platform specifics. And there's more benefits if you do go that route, because that interface, because it's an interface, you can do a lot of cool unit testing there as well, so abstract out the actual real live access to whatever that service is consuming. So that's demo number two. I will now hand over to Doug, who's going to talk about the common Windows runtime API.
All right, thanks. So, runtime. Get that water. So Windows 8, now with Windows 8 you have this new application type of Windows Store apps. And to help you develop Windows Store apps, you have the Windows Runtime API that gives you access to all the goodness that is Windows 8. The proximity, like we showed earlier, geolocation, sensors, and it helps you create real compelling Windows 8 apps. As mentioned earlier by Andrew, Windows Phone 8 also ships with a Windows Phone Runtime API. And that contains some Windows Phone specific runtime, but it also contains some runtime that they adopted from the Windows Runtime API. And it's that surface area of the API that we can use to share code and create some efficiency in our apps. So in the context of PixPresenter, how does that show up? Well, one way it shows up is with the networking. The proximity and networking APIs are common to both runtimes. So the tapping and then the result of the tapping, the socket connection, and the sending of the pictures back and forth is all common code that is the exact same code for both the phone and for Windows 8. So we factored that into a single class that we called Peer Connector. So let's have a look at that. So, and what we've done now is now we need to... Oh, I clicked the wrong one. Thanks. We need to really get the distinction between portable code and shareable code. What Andrew showed you with the portable class libraries is portable code, hence the name. What we're calling shareable code is code such as runtime code that you cannot put in a portable class library, but you can still share it. And the technique we use to share it is add as link. In Visual Studio, and what that does is we have a single file that has the source of our code, we add it to our project as a linked file, and we'll link it to multiple projects that way, but it still only exists in one place. So for our purposes, that one place is this separate folder that we have called Shared Code. And here you'll see I have my Peer Connector class. It exists outside of the project structure, and we're going to add it in. But let's have a look at that class real quick, just to get a flavor for what's in there. So you can see within our Peer Connector class right away, we're importing types from the runtime, and this code is valid on both the phone and on Windows. Looking down into the class, we have a couple of public events, one for picture received that lets us know when the peer has sent us a picture, and one for connection status changed. And that tells us when, tells the UI when you've either created a successful connection or you've lost the connection or you need to tap. And so the UI can be responsive to those types of changes. Going down a little further, we have our public constructor. It verifies that you can tap, and the name of the API for tap connections is triggered. And then if you do support triggered connections, then we make use of the Peer Finder class to set up that tap connection. Just a couple more things real quick. We have a couple of public methods to start and stop a connection, and you can see they're also using the Peer Finder. And then we have a public method to send a picture across. All right, but that file is not part of our project yet, so let's add it in. So I'll go over here to my Windows 8 project. I'm going to go to my View Models folder, and I'm going to add an existing item. I'll go back to that same Shared Code folder, and there we see the Peer Connector, and now I'm going to add that to my project. Now, classically, what I've always done is I just click the Add button, and now I've got this class in my project. But what that does is it takes a copy of the file and puts it in. We don't want a copy, we actually want to link it so that if we make a change to the source file, everywhere it's linked, that change shows up. So I'm going to expand the drop down here, and I'm going to select Add as Link. And now you can see we have Peer Connector added into our project. And if you have eagle eyes there, you can see that the icon is slightly different to show that that is a linked file and not a file that exists in the project. So let's just see that run. So the file exists outside of our project, but it's compiled with our project. So let's bring up the simulator, and we'll just break into the code to see it working. All right, so in this case, I'm going to enable a little touch here, and I'm going to bring up the app bar and click my connect button. And now you can see we've broken in to our Peer Connector code. Let's do the exact same thing on the Windows 8 project. So I'll go over to my Windows Phone 8 project, and I am going to set that as my startup project. I'll go down to the same folder, and I'm going to add an existing item. Go back to the exact same shared code folder where our single source file is. Add as a link. And there it is. It persists the, I didn't close the file down, but it actually persists the breakpoint that I set. if you make a change to a linked file, it actually is it's saved to the original source. All right, so let's run this in the phone emulator. And here we go. I'll do the same thing I did on the Windows. I'll bring up the app bar, click the connect button, and now we've broken into that same file. So it's very powerful. You can write the code once, and you can share it to multiple projects and save yourself a lot of time. So let's go back and have a look real quick at what you can share in your projects between phone and Windows. So we've got this little Venn diagram. You can see the light blue on the right. That kind of represents the, well, it doesn't kind of, it actually represents the surface area that is specific to Windows Phone. Those are your speech, voice over IP APIs. The red represents API that's specific to Windows or API that is not yet implemented in the Windows runtime. And then in the middle, we have this dark blue section. And that shows us what we have available to both platforms. Networking proximity, just like we showed you in the PixPresenter demo. You also have in-app purchase and sensors, location, file system, the core application model is shared, and threading is shared. So you can write all that code one time and link it to multiple projects, and it will all build. So now let me turn it back over to Andrew, and we'll talk about Windows runtime components.
That's great. Thank you, Doug. So what have we got so far? If you're in an app like PixPresenter, you're building a XAML app and you have a lot of .NET code, you're going to see a lot of mileage when you're sharing out a lot of your code in a portable class library. But you'll want to take advantage of a lot of the great new API that's available and share it with Windows, especially if you're building apps for both platforms. And that's where the Windows Runtime API comes in. And Doug showed a great example of just sharing, writing the code once and sharing it in multiple projects. So the next thing to talk about is Windows Runtime Components. So sometimes called third-party Windows Runtime Components, we're referring to here as the ability you have to create these components yourselves. So when you build a, you create a new project and it's a Windows Runtime Component project, and you put code inside there and you compile it, it produces a WinMD file and it's a Windows Runtime Component, which means you'll end up being able to access the component you write in all supported languages. So on the phone, it'll be C#, VB, C++, and in addition to that, on Windows, it'll be JavaScript as well. So where do we use this in PixPresenter? Well, we wanted to add that ability to filter the pictures. So you saw Doug going and converting his lovely picture of himself, Ziggy Stardog, into black and white. We wanted to produce something like that. We thought it would be a cool feature to add. And that's pretty normal for apps like this, where you're looking at, you know, how do I get a feature in with the least amount of cost? It turned out that we had code in the team from a colleague of ours, Bharat, who had written this many years ago, some C++, quite straightforward. And we said, why don't we just use that inside our application? But hey, we're a XAML app. How can we do that? Well, this is one of the ways Windows Runtime Components comes in to play. And I'll just show you that code. This was shown, I think, at the keynote. But I just want to remind you of this technique because it is very powerful and you'll be able to do a lot, especially, you know, you look at all, you know, various types of apps. If you look at our project, what's changed here is we used to have three projects. We now have five. The two projects up at the very top, Fast Filters Win8 and Fast Filters WinPhone8, they're the encapsulation of this C++ code into a Windows Runtime Component for each platform. So Windows Runtime Components are not binary compatible across the platforms. You'll have to place the code inside one of these projects and compile for the platform in question. But the good news is it's very like the single source Doug mentioned already. You're writing this code once, and really it's just more or less a plumbing problem in terms of getting this to work on both platforms. So here's that code. Pretty straightforward. It's C++. It's just taking in a buffer of pixels, and it's going to convert that here into grayscale and pass that buffer back. Very straightforward, and this is for demonstration purposes only. I mean, you know, if you have another way of doing this, even in managed code, that's fine too. It's just an example. So the code itself is wrapped inside this Fast Filters Win8. And then we have another project that is using the exact same code for Windows Phone 8. So when I double click on that, you notice the file didn't even change. It's linked by default. So when you add files like this in a C++ project, they're automatically added as link. So it's the exact same code used in both. It was just packaged for each platform so that they run on each. Let's consume that inside the applications. If I go back into my Windows 8 app and into this class called Picture Service, here we have a method called Convert to Grayscale. So what it's doing is it's taking in an image as a byte array, and it's decoding that image into raw pixels up here. It's then it's instantiating that filter library in order to convert the image, and then once it gets the buffer back, it's re-encoding it, and then that's what's shown to the user. And I should have shown you then just a reference. I'm skipping around a little bit here, but there's the reference up here to the Win8 version of that Windows runtime component. And then the phone, let me just run that actually just to show you this in action. I'll just set a breakpoint because I actually liked the breakpoint demo. I thought it was cool. So,
you're not going to break.
So I'll just set that as my breakpoint, and I'll run in the simulator. Bring up those lovely pictures, and when I swipe across, let's just pick one and hit the convert button. And we're breaking from our XAML app into C++ that we've used inside a Windows runtime component, which is really cool. I'm not going to debug it, I'm just going to hit continue. And there you see the black and white image. So that's really cool. Just moving forward then, the exact same pattern. So as you can see, when we built these apps together, we really tried, there's a lot of things we did that are exactly the same for both. I'll just go back to this project and just show you briefly the same pattern. So we have reference to the Windows Phone 8 version of the Windows runtime component. And in the view models inside the very same class, Picture Service, we're using that Fast Filters library here, and we're decoding our image once again into raw pixels. We're instantiating the filter, converting the buffer of pixels into grayscale, and when we get that back, we're just going to set that as the image for the user. So that's the code then that we used for Windows runtime component. So where this was great for us in terms of this kind of app, and there are a lot more uses, and there's some other talks going on related to this, particularly around the native use of Windows runtime components. But it's great in an app like this when you have language interoperability. So you just saw it there, we had a C# app, we wanted to consume some native code. Pretty straightforward to do. You'll have to obey the rules of creating a Windows runtime component and so on, but it's straightforward to do. It's great, so therefore, if you have computationally intensive operations in your XAML app, you could code those in native and then consume them this way. And likewise, if you're surfing the web and you find that public library you've always wanted to use, but it's always been in C++, now you can attempt to use that inside your C# app by wrapping it as a Windows runtime component and exposing it that way. So there you go. They're the sharing techniques we wanted to show you today. I want to briefly go back over the lessons learned when we were building the app and looking at these techniques. So you should share code and you should architect with sharing in mind. You saw we had a green field, and that may not be everybody's situation, but when you do have a situation like that and you're able to do this, designing your app so that you're setting yourself up for sharing and knowing what the techniques will be is really important. You want to maximize the user experience in the UI. Another way of saying that is you don't want to compromise best practices. You really want that app to be the greatest phone app you can build and the greatest store app you can build. And that's why, you know, you don't want to compromise and share for the sake of it. The great news is for PixPresenter, we didn't actually have to make any compromises in that sense because we set ourselves up for success and it came pretty naturally to us to build the app this way. There was no compromises to be made in terms of sharing. So we got our sharing and we had our UIs then built for the right experiences on both platforms. Finally, you can use a lot of skills and knowledge in this space. So when you're building an app for both platforms, you may have seen it already, but the tools are very similar and there's lots of similarity. So much so that when we were building this app, we cross-pollinated and I was able to do some of Doug's work on the Windows Store app and he was able to do some stuff in the Windows Phone app. The reason is that the metaphor, design metaphor is very similar, the code is very similar, the .NET APIs are very similar, if not the same in a lot of cases. And then this new Windows Runtime API, we're talking in effect in one language. So it was a really effective way of designing this application, and you're going to feel the same way too when you get out there and try these techniques. Those techniques were sharing, making sure to separate your UI from your app logic, separation pattern of your choice. MVVM is well known and proven to be a great choice in these kind of apps, both for the phone and for store apps. Use a portable class library for sharing your portable .NET code, and in an app like this you're going to have quite a bit of that. The amount you'll share in terms of view models will depend on the complexity of your app. Our view models weren't particularly complex, so we probably could have shared even more code in a different type of app. You want to use Windows, the new common Windows Runtime API. This is part of the convergence story, but you see that in-app purchases there, proximity, location, sensors, all this great API is now available for you to use on both platforms. So when you're using it, think about sharing it too. And finally, in an app like this, language interop can be solved using Windows Runtime components, and that's a great, powerful technique if there's libraries out there or native code you want to consume. I should have mentioned the Windows Runtime component creation on the Windows Phone side is C++ only at the moment, so you create them in C++. On the store, you can create them in any of the supported languages. Here's some resources that we love to share with you. The first one is our section of the MSDN docs for Windows Phone 8 and Windows 8 app developments. That's a shared piece of documentation between Doug and myself, and it goes into these techniques in more detail and also talks about conditional compilation and when you should use that, and talks about, you know, sharing UI and XAML and so on, or, you know, discusses that whole area. Peter Tor's given a fantastic talk after this, but you're going to have to make some choices, unfortunately, because the first two talks that I'm showing here, Peter's talk and Sam's talk, are both going to happen today at the same time. Peter's talk will be in Building 92, but for you early risers, it's on again tomorrow morning at 8:30, so you might just be coming home from the attendee party. I don't know, but that one's available. And then you have Sam George is going to talk in this very room. Both of these are going to cover the native story in more detail. It's hard to compress this all into just one talk. We focused on a XAML app. I really recommend you listen to what they have to say in terms of the overall powerful sharing story or native story for the phone and how that relates to an app on both platforms as well. Stefan Wick always gives great talks. This one in particular was about critical dev practices that you want to use in terms of building for the phone. But again, you know, this is all about setting yourself up for success. And then we have some others, our colleagues in the CLR team, great talk on going deeper into portable class libraries. And our colleague Jeffrey Furman talking about using Blend and Visual Studio for these, building these apps. Our docs are below, devs.windowsphone.com, dev.windows.com, and our code samples will be up on Code Gallery. PixPresenter, the app we showed you, is heading out that way shortly after build, so you'll get the code and supported documentation to show you exactly what we did there. So in summary, This is a massive opportunity. Sure, you've heard it all this week. And it'll be your apps that really make this platform rock and these devices shine. You'll make all these apps that go out there are going to be fantastic for these devices. I hope it came across the platforms are converging. If you think about it, swapping out the core, changing the .NET Compact framework to Core CLR and all the benefits that come with that, adding in these common Windows runtime, starting off with this great subset of Windows runtime API that you can use on both, and then the fantastic native stack that we've introduced. That all spells convergence. To me, the benefit to you is to be able to share code and develop your apps much more efficiently, saving time and money. So we believe the time is right. We'd love you to start building for both platforms. I can't wait to see all those creations out in the store. And on behalf of myself, Andrew Byrne, and Doug Rothes, thanks very much for coming today. And we'll take questions.
If you have a question, can you come to the go to the mic so that we can get that on the...
Is this app working?
Creating portable library, it could be, for example, if you have if devs in the...
Yeah, no, you can't have if defs inside a portable library.
Yeah, but that's alternative. Let's say you're trying to port something, and then you have a small thing, like for example, you're using a reflection, which is different in WinRT comparing to .NET 4.5. Yeah. So, and you have to do something about it. So either you need to build abstraction on top of reflection, but that's just a tiny one single place where you're not portable, or you just don't go for portable libraries and use fdev. But what is your suggestion in such situations?
I really think it's going to be up to you in terms of the scale to which you are trying to use an fdev or reflection. It'll be case by case. There's no hard and fast rule. I'm really not sure. I think it will be at a case by case basis. Do you think you can't use a portable class library for that code? Is that what you feel?
Well, you can if it's an ifdef.
If it's ifdef, if it's platform specific.
We ran into that with PixPresenter, and we just, in those cases, we just looked at, did we really need to ifdef the code? Was there a better way to do it? In some cases, it was the same code and just in different namespaces, so we popped an ifdef in, but we shared that using addislink instead because we couldn't put it in the portable class library.
But there are techniques to reduce the amount of reflection you need. You could do a lot of the Windows, Windows Phone 8 calls inside a Windows Phone 8 class library and not have to use reflection fully. But it'll depend on how much, work you want to put in there, whether it's needed or necessary for you.
But in longer perspective, what do you see as an advantage of going? What could be the motivation for going for portable library versus ifdef version?
Great question. I think ifdefs get you into a lot of problems when you're using it all over. We did a lot of using conditional compilation initially, and personally I found it it began to get pretty complex or noisy inside my code. I don't like that. I think it's harder to maintain, and that just gets worse the more apps you have, the more components you have. So if it was me, I'd rather have that portable class library structure if needed, and we used conditional compilation still inside here for some very minor things. For example, setting the alternate identity on the peer connector, I think we did something there. And when we also had a user control we were sharing, and there's a little bit of ifdef behind and the code behind there. So I think it's a personal preference. I think it depends on how you feel, whether you're devs or whether you feel you're going to be able to maintain a lot of conditional compilation.
Yeah, and also check out Daniel Plaisted's talk on portable class libraries, and he can probably give you a much more in-depth flavor for what the advantages are.
And that's tomorrow, I believe, tomorrow afternoon around 3.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks very much.
Over here.
Great. So I have a Windows Phone app and a Windows 8 app, and I was talking to a Microsoft person and asked, why did I use a different ID for these two? And I didn't even know I could use the same ID. And I guess if I had used the same ID, they could maybe share state and things like this. Could you tell me what that's about?
You mean a product ID, like the GUID?
I don't know what you meant.
Well, you don't use the same ID for both.
No.
In fact, one of the things we did with Proximity is there's a capability called alternate identities, where we told the Windows 8 version, here's the identity for the phone app, and we told the phone app, here's the identity for the Windows 8 app. So then when we tapped them, they said, okay, I recognize that ID. So, yeah, I'm not sure what...
Whenever I create projects, I get brand new GUIDs, so I've never tried that.
So isn't there like some capability of sharing application state that gets migrated automatically?
No.
No, not between phone and Windows.
Not even.
And there's not really. Yeah, you also have it kind of locked down on Windows as well between those apps.
Okay.
So I'm not sure what they were. Sure what they were telling you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. So we had somebody waiting over here.
Yeah, I was curious about the WinRT components and if you can elaborate a little bit on what makes them have to be still platform specific and if there's any migration moving toward making that common.
Sure. I think it's just as simple as we didn't get to binary compatibility this time around, and therefore you have to compile them for each platform. That's just where we landed in terms of the cut line.
I mean, are they engined? Is it because of the fact that they were C++ and therefore native? I mean, do you have any idea where that actually...
I don't, but there's a gentleman standing right behind you who might help me out here with an answer. Peter?
Yes, so the components you're building are native code components, and as Andrew said, we didn't get to the point where we have binary compatibility for native code on Windows 8 and Windows Phone 8. The portable class library is the same binary because there's a layer of abstraction with the CLR, but for native components, exactly the same source as you saw in the demo, but you do have to build two libs or two DLLs or two executables, one for each platform.
Thanks, Peter.
All right. Right here, number two.
Hi. I want to know how big the overhead is for calling into native code from C# or something, if you use a runtime component.
So, again, Peter's talk is going to go into those specifics. He actually, I think, does a measurement just to show exactly what that overhead may be. Mm-hmm. I don't have any specific numbers. I do know that, you know, there is some marshalling involved. You know, there's things you're going to have to be aware of. And that's why we call out specifically computationally intensive code would be well suited for going into a Windows runtime component. If you're fully native, you probably won't have a Windows runtime component because you'll just be using native all the way along your stack. For these scenarios, you know, you're going to use it carefully when there's a real benefit in terms of... So, but I don't have the numbers. Peter will be able to go into that in much more detail in that talk in Building 92.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Okay.